Grace be unto you and peace, peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As is our habit, would you read aloud with me the title of today's sermon, To Hell and Back. Based on the epistle reading that Reuben read for you from 1 Peter 3, especially these verses. Jesus was put to death in the body, made alive in the spirit, and he went and he preached to the spirits in prison. I encourage you to follow the handout you've been given today. Upon this handout, you'll find the sermon outline as we consider our theme, To Hell and Back. Well, I have a confession to make. I'm cheap. I like to save money. That's one of the reasons why upstairs in our little townhouse, we have a 12-inch television that plays both DVDs and VHS tapes. Remember those? It can do both. We could get a bigger TV set, but I like that little TV set, Beverly can tell you, because if we want to watch a movie we've rented, we have to snuggle together on the upstairs bed, lie down, and watch the 12-inch TV screen. It's on purpose. Last week, together, we watched a movie that I chose. Sometimes she chose girly movies, and I choose action boy movies. This movie was a movie made in 1955. It was the biography of the most decorated soldier in World War history. His name was Audie Murphy, and he actually acted in this movie. It began his movie career. It was entitled To Hell and Back. About his exploits as a poor dirt farmer, uneducated, went to war, became the most decorated, medaled soldier in the history of the United States of America. The terrible battles he was in, but he's coming back. He did indeed go to hell, but he came back. A very fitting title for today's sermon. Now, week after week, we confess the words in the Apostles' Creed. But do we understand those words? The Apostles' Creed is a statement of faith, a summary of our Christian faith. I believe in God the Father. I believe in God the Son. I believe in God the Holy Spirit. Second article of the Creed talks about Jesus, God the Son. But this Apostles' Creed is the basis of our Christian faith, the basis of every youth confirmation class, adult instruction class, every baptism we confess this creed. Today we're talking about one specific verse, in the second article of the Creed, referring to Jesus, where it says, He was crucified, died, and buried, and then He descended into hell. What does this mean? Look at your sermon outline. Jesus' descent into hell does not refer to His suffering. This is a common misunderstanding of Christian people. That is that Jesus went to hell to suffer in our place. It's not biblical teaching at all. The hell Jesus suffered was right there. The hell Jesus suffered was upon the cross. The most accurate definition of hell is this: separation from God, existence without God's presence, that's hell. And when Jesus, our precious Jesus, was on the cross bearing the filth and the sin of the world, the Heavenly Father in His perfect holiness turned His back on Him to hear Jesus cry, My God, why have you forsaken me? At that time, He was suffering hell. And what's the answer to the question Jesus asked? Why did you forsake me? So that God would never forsake you and me. Jesus took it all in our place. Now, so then, what does 1 Peter 3 mean when it says Jesus went and He preached to the spirits in prison? That is, that He went to hell. Now, look at Roman numeral 2 in your outline. There have been various explanations of Jesus' descent into hell. The medieval church, The church, 1100, 1200, 1300, 1400, 1500, the time of Luther, the medieval church, many in it thought it had to do with Old Testament saints. That is, that somehow after Jesus' death on the cross, he went to the realm of the dead to lead the Old Testament saints to heaven who never heard of Jesus. Not really true. Better yet, in the medieval church, was a famous play, it's on your outline, called The Harrowing of Hell. Do we have any farmers or past farmers in the congregation? My goodness, in rural and urban Vancouver, if I'd have done this where we came from in Alberta, every hand, Carl, I didn't see your hand up. We have some visitors. I know you're a farmer. Harrowing is a process of turning the soil over in a rough way to get the crop ready to be planted. The play was called The Harrowing of Hell. In this play, Jesus is pictured after his death, alive in the spirit, going into the pits of hell, taking a demon by the neck, throwing him that way, drop kicking another one that way, coming to the very throne of the devil and saying, "On Good Friday, you thought you had me, right? Well, it may have been Friday, but Sunday has come and went, and I've come back, and I have won, and you have lost." That was the medieval play, The Harrowing of Hell. That's what the truth of this scripture is trying to get to, but we'll be getting to in just a moment. Now, sadly, look at the next point in your outline. Some churches, even today, omit this phrase when they say the creed. They omit the phrase, "He descended into hell." Why? They consider it just a symbolic event at the cross. They cut this out and say it really isn't history, it's just symbolism. But these are some of the same churches that declare the Holy Communion is not the real presence of Christ's body and blood. It's just a symbol, a pretend. Let's read together. It's on your outline. Would you read with me Roman numeral 2, point C? From the Formula of Concord, which is a summary of Lutheran doctrine from 1577, we have the clearest, most precise description of what the descent into hell means. Do you have it in front of you, please? Read it with me, Roman numeral 2, point C. We simply believe that Christ, after the burial, descended into hell, conquered the devil, destroyed the power of hell, and took from the devil all his might. He destroyed hell for all believers, delivered them from the power of death and the power of the devil and from the jaws of death. That is to say, Jesus' descent into hell, according to Scripture, never speaks of his suffering. It's of his victory. Keep in mind the Harrowing of Hell play. Now, we're going to take right now a closer look at the only passage in Holy Scripture that deals with this doctrine. Phrase by phrase, it's listed on your outline. This comes from 1 Peter chapter 3. Look at the first phrase. He died for sins once for all. Verse 18. He died for sins. Jesus offered himself for all the sins of the world. He died once for all. There is not any sin of any kind that has not been paid for by Jesus' death. My friends, that's wonderful news for you and me. There is no sin you have ever committed or sin you have or will commit that Christ's death on the cross has not paid for. Paid in full, he cried out from the cross. Look at the next phrase. He was, would you read it with me? The righteous for the unrighteous. The righteous, that's Jesus. For the unrighteous, that is you and me. This is what theologians call the great exchange. He got what we deserved, God's wrath poured out on sin, so that we could get only what he deserved. The glory of eternal life in heaven. Now, regarding the great exchange, who got the best deal of that bargain? We did. St. 1 Peter goes on. Look at the next phrase. Would you read it with me? Point C. He was put to death in the body. Please take note, the verb there is not active. It's passive. The text says it was done to him. It doesn't say Jesus died. It says Jesus was put to death. Aha! This is a part of God's plan. That Jesus would come to be our substitute, our sacrifice, who was put to death for you, Ruel, for me. Look at the next phrase. Would you read it with me? He was made alive with respect to the Spirit. Here again is the passive verb. Jesus was made alive by the Heavenly Father. When Jesus died on the cross, he says, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And here it says, after the crucifixion, after the sins of the world were paid for, the Heavenly Father raised Jesus from death. He returned his spirit to his body. And now comes today's key verse. The key verse upon which that phrase in the Apostle Creed is based, he descended into hell. Verse 19 says, he went and preached to the spirits in prison. The first phrase, he went and preached. What was the theme of Jesus' sermon? What was his topic? It was this. In your face, Satan. In your face. There's a unique word used there in the Greek language for preached. It doesn't say that Jesus went to hell to preach the gospel, to save the souls of those who were there. For them, it's too late. The scripture says he went and preached. It's a key word. The word is keriso, which means to proclaim a victory. It's the same verb used when a victorious general has just won a mighty battle. And his herald goes before him saying, we have won. We have won. The general has won. He's bringing the spoils of victory. In fact, in the Kyrie, we sing every morning. You say, you sing with me, Lord, have mercy. What you're really saying is, King Jesus, share with us the spoils of your victory. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. And you say, Lord, have mercy. What you're saying is, share with us the victory. When Jesus preached to the spirits in prison, he was preaching in your face, Satan. He was saying, you lose, and I have won. Isn't this curious? The first congregation our Lord proclaimed his victory to was the one in hell, thumbing his nose at the devil and saying, you thought you had me on Friday. Well, guess what? I've come back. And now I've come for you. And your power has come to an end. The text says he preached to the spirits who were in prison. The prison is where demons and the unbelievers in hell is. Revelation 9 says this. Hell is, quote, the bottomless pit, the prison for every foul spirit, the dwelling place of the demons. This is where Jesus first proclaimed his victory. And the spirits in prison, who are they? Those are they who have rejected God's grace. Now, in the present context of 1 Peter 3, this verse specifically refers to people who, at the time of Noah, refused to put their faith in God, but in stubbornness and rebellion, spat in God's face. But in the fuller biblical context, the spirits in prison refer to the region of the damned unbelievers, the demons, and all the devil himself. Please take note, Jesus' descent into hell, according to Scripture, is not to suffer. He did that for us on the cross. That was his hell for you and me. He descended to preach to the spirits in prison to proclaim a victory. So really, Jesus' descent into hell is his first step in his exaltation, humiliation on the cross, exaltation as he preached the sermon of victory. And then, of course, his full and glorious resurrection. Listen to Colossians 2:15. Let me read it for you. This is what it says. Having disarmed the principles and the principalities and powers, Jesus made a public spectacle of them, having victory over them through the cross. The principality and powers refer to the devil and his demons. And it says Jesus made a public spectacle of them. This is another military term referring to prisoners of war. When prisoners of war were stripped of all their weapons, stripped down to almost nakedness, marched in public shame through the streets, the general says, "We have won, they have lost. I have made a public spectacle of our enemies." Colossians 2:15 says this, Jesus, having disarmed the principalities and powers, having defeated the devil, he made a public spectacle of him. He has won the victory. Jesus' descent into hell, one more time, is a reference to his victory over the devil, the first step in his exaltation to the right hand of God in heaven. So now, as we conclude this sermon this morning, would you please open up your hymnal to the back cover? Go to the back cover of your hymnal. Would you join with me now? Find there the second paragraph in that hymnal. The second paragraph of the creed. We are now going to save this second article together, focusing especially on that one phrase we've dealt with today. The second paragraph. Would you read it with me?
And in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead.
Today, we thank God for Jesus' descent into hell. We thank God for Jesus' in-your-face sermon proclamation to that damned liar, the devil. And we thank God especially that everything that Jesus did, he did for you. And he did for me. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.